All right, I want to begin today by reading something. And today's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to start and track a little differently. But let me begin by reading this. This comes from a book that I came across some years ago. It's called Up to No Good, The Rascally Things Boys Do, As Told by Perfectly Decent Grown Men. It starts like this. When we were 13 or so, my friends and I had this game. We'd go down to the basement where it was completely dark, and each of us would find a hiding place. Then someone would start the game by turning out the lights, and we'd try to hit each other with darts. You'd think you heard someone make a noise, and you'd come out of your hiding place throwing darts, but cringing because you were fair game too. There would be complete silence, and then you'd hear someone yell, "Ow!" One time we turned on the light, and a guy had a dart dangling from his cheek just below his eye. So after that, we wore goggles. Okay. Great story, right? But let me tell you, were there any women in this room, I would have read that story, and inside that lady's mind would have been, oh my gosh, I knew they were beasts, and that just proved it. But everybody in this room, we hear that story and we think, God, what a great game. Okay, now some of you young guys, you do not go home and play that game and tell them that Greg told you to play that game, all right? You make that choice, that's on your own. Or at least wear goggles. Okay? So here's where what I'm gonna do this morning, I'm really gonna talk about being a man and what being a man means. And so go ahead and I'm just gonna cue you guys. I'm gonna put that next slide up. Fearfully and Wonderfully Made is the title of what I'm gonna talk about today. And here's where I start. I've got to start with a couple disclaimers. First of all, I have to start with the fact that today I'm going to be sharing some science with you, okay? Some of the latest brain research and how men and women are created and made. And I want you guys to understand, so I've got to say that disclaimer, because for the most part when I'm up here, I'll be talking more about scripture. But today I'm going to talk a little bit about science. And lest my fear is that someone might go home and say, like Stephen in Nacho Libre, I only believe in science. I don't. I believe firmly in the Word of God, and we're going to get to that. So I'm going to be sharing some science with you today. I also am going to be talking about the culture of men and how we were created and how we were wired. And you do not have permission to go home and tell your wife, hey, Greg told me how I'm wired today, and you got to adjust to me now. No, don't do that, because as I'm going to talk about it later on, it's our job to understand who we are and how God created us. But it's also our job to understand how our ladies were created and to nurture them along and grow them along. And as the scripture says, and we'll get to it, live with them in an understanding way. Okay, so here we go. Let's begin by this. Next slide. So just to make sure you guys know that I'm not like Stephen and Nacho Libre and only believe in science. This is what God said to us. This comes from our scripture. God says, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. So this is where we start, you guys. When God created you, when you were formed in your mother's womb, it says that God went down there, his fingers went down there and knit you together. Says that his every fiber of your being, God went down and put it together. And when he created you, when he created Chase Perry, he had an image in his mind of what he wanted Chase Perry to be. And God went down and formed him and shaped him in the way he wanted Chase to be shaped. God did that for each one of us. He formed us in our mother's womb exactly the way we were created. He wanted us to be, had that image in mind, gave us the initial skills and talents. He sowed those into us, sowed in how tall we were going to be, how short we were going to be, sewed in the size of our hands, sewed in how, you know, what the, that our big toe is going to be extra large. I don't know. It, whatever it is, God sewed you and made you that way. He formed you in your mother's womb. Okay, so we were created by God to be who we are. And we've got to start there. We've got to, that has to be our foundation. Because God had an intention in the way that he created us. He had an intention in the plans in his mind when he put us together. So this is where we begin, with God's intention. Next one. So the big idea this morning is that God made me a man. That seems really simple, right? But we've got, that's got to be our foundation. That God created me and everybody in this room. I don't see any ladies. So we're not infiltrated this morning. That's a good thing. God made us in this room to be men. And he made our women to be women. And that's God's plan. So Genesis 1:27 says this. So God created man. And this is the beginning of the book, guys. This is the start of the story. Okay? God created man, or mankind is that word, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And here, get this, because this is what our society is forgetting right now. Male and female, he created them. Okay, let's take that statement for a second. Male and female, he created them. Okay. From the very beginning of creation, God delineated there is going to be male and there is going to be female. Okay. And that's something, that's part of why I'm talking this morning. Because our society, you know, I think Scripture addresses everything that's going on in our society today. And this is part of what we are addressing. Our society today has forgotten, or at least trying to forget, that God created us male and female. Anyone been confused today or felt confused by what's going on in our society? Has anyone kind of scratched your head at this? I find often that I listen to the news or I hear a news report on the radio and I just scratch my head and I say, we have lost our minds. And we have gone so far away from what God's plan was. And it begins right there, at least on this issue, that he, God, the creator of the universe, who breathed life into us. If I draw breath today, it's because God gave me that breath. If I walk the earth today, it's because God put his breath in me and formed me in my mother's womb and gave me life. And I'm going to turn around to the creator and say, you did this wrong? What? I mean, to me, I think God can respond to us, hey, listen, pal, when you can form a man out of the dust of the earth and breathe life into him, then you get to decide how things go. Okay? So, this is very simple to me. God created us, and his plan was that we were to be male and female. He created them. So, that's where we've got to start. So, there are some myths, I think, that are being propagated in our society. One of them is that men and women are equal. Now hear me, because we can get into some touchy subjects here. Or we can get into some subjects here that will be offensive. And that's okay. That's okay. I think God offends people because they allow themselves to be offended. So, but one of the ways that I think that the enemy tries to pervert God's creation and pervert ways in our culture is he tries to take what God created and twist it until it becomes something that's completely different than what God created. Pornography is one of those things. Okay? Pornography is taking something that God created to be beautiful, to be an act of love, and an act of service, and an act of worship between a man and a woman in a marriage relationship and a covenant. And he's perverted it and twisted it to make, it was supposed to be a private worship, and he's twisted it and made it public. same thing, I think, with men and with male and female, that we're struggling today in our society. So God, or the enemy, is trying to push us to make women into men, and to men and men into women. Okay, anyone disagree with that? Does anyone scratch their head sometimes at some of this stuff, like me? Okay, this is what I think. This is where I think we go. God's plan at the beginning was that we would be male and female. So there is some myths. One is that women are equal to men. Now, don't hear me now. Not they are equal. We are to give equal honor. We are to honor each other equally. But God created us different. He wired us different, and we have to at some point embrace that and say, okay, I'm a man. And it's not that hard. But right now society is going to try and tell you that you need to be like a woman. And for the women, the enemy's trying to tell them they need to be like a man. And frankly, we're not wired that way. Because in the beginning, God created us male and female. Okay, I need to move on. Some of the other myths is that men are the only dangerous ones. Okay? Anyone ever seen the drama the girls can create? Okay, I'm just saying. And that being a man is bad. This is if you look at the history of our television shows that started out, you know, Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best. Can you imagine a show that's even named that these days? The father, again, the enemy's plan to make what God created for good, the father of the house, the head of the house, who is supposed to provide protection and wisdom and honor and a steadiness to that house, the enemy has tried to pervert it and make the father into the buffoon, the joke of the television. So these are some of the myths that have been propagated. God created us to be a man, and he wired us a certain way to fulfill a certain role. Okay, so this one's for free. If you want to put that up there. So there you go. But it's absolutely true, isn't it? I mean, let's just look at even our physical bodies of how God created us. And we'll know if we're a man or not. Or a woman. I mean, come on. Okay, So now we walk into some of the science. So I'm gonna start talking to us about just how our brains are wired. And it does begin in the womb. Okay, so go ahead and put the next slide up. So here's what happens in brain development when you guys were being born, when you were in your mother's womb. If you were to be a female, both halves of your brain, you understand the brain has two halves, they're called the hemispheres. Okay? And so both halves of the brain, if you were going to be female, would form at the same rate. So as you can see, that like this brain up here, each side is equal. So as your brain develops, each side, or if you're female, your brain is developing, and each side is developing at the same rate. So they're about the same size and the same stage in development if you're going to be a female. In the middle of that development, each side will send nerves over to the other side to connect the two hemispheres of the brain. And so if you're going to be a female, at the right time, both of the sides of your brain shoot those nerves over there. And if you're a female, the ends of each one of those nerves find connections over in the other half of the brain, because each half of the brain is being formed at the same rate. And so those connections are ready over on each side of the brain. And so what you end up with as a female is with a very thick cord, cable, basically, of connections between the brain. It's called the corpus callosum. And so you've got that nice, thick cable, and your brain starts talking to each other. Your halves of your brain starts talking to each other. And it just goes, it starts moving and starts shaking with that big, thick cord. It's kind of like when we get, you know, when we went from 10 megabits per second to 75 at our house on the internet. Whoa, man, I can stream everything and nothing buffers. Oh, yeah. That's what the female brain is like in that development. So you got this big, thick cord that starts talking to each other. And because you have a big, thick cord that talks to each other, there's a lot of action and a lot of communication that goes on. And it can Let's go to the next. So here's what happens. Here's one of the characteristics of being a woman. Women are better at multitasking. Anyone know that? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we know. In fact, they did a study one time. I think this is interesting. They had an office set up, and they gave some people like 10 tasks to do in an office. So that things like make 10 copies of this, fax this to this number, type out an email to whatever. They put a woman in that office set up, and she starts the copy machine and then starts the fax machine. She types out the email, picks up the copies, takes the fax, checks off that it was all at the same time. Put the man in that setup, and he takes the paper, goes over to the copy machine, 10 copies. Fax machine, one at a time, right? Okay, we're going to get to why in a minute, okay? Okay, so women, they're better at multitasking. They are able to read faces and body language better. Because the halves of their brain talk to each other at a much better rate, they're able to read faces and emotion and body language better. So guys, when I was learning this, here's what I learned. If you think you're fooling your wife, you're only fooling yourself. And here's a biggie. They process emotions much faster, much better. Women get to emotions. You guys know this. They can process those things and know what they're thinking and know what they're feeling and know what they want to say about it all within moments. We'll get to us in a minute. But also because their brains talk so well with each other, their brains are always on. Anybody, does your wife ever complain about her brain just never stops? And that's true. As a woman is going to sleep, her brain is still running, still making lists, still thinking of everything that happened that day. And that's because the two halves of her brain are communicating much better than yours are. Okay? So, consequently, and this is something our wives need to understand about us, when she says, "What are you thinking about?" and we say, "Nothing," it's generally true. We can turn our brains off, in a sense. Okay? Now, that's something that, you know, we need to help our wives understand about us. But we need to understand that their brains are always on. They're moving, man. And you know what? I think that's God's design. Because, hit the next slide. Women have to do this. They've got to hold a baby and cook a meal and talk on the phone and keep relationships up. That's God's design. So mothers have to take care of 4 or 5 kids that are all at different ages. And so I think God designed us that way. Okay? All right. Now let's talk about us as boys and men. Next slide. So here's what happens if you're a man. Here's our story, gentlemen. When we are being formed in our mother's womb, the halves of our brain do not form. If the baby is going to be male, the right half of the brain doesn't form as fast as the left half. So somewhere at that moment where the nerves endings are supposed to shoot across and make connections on each side, some of them will make connections because in that right half of the brain, there are some places that are ready to connect. But many places are not. And so what happens is from the left half of that brain, it shoots some nerves over there. And if those nerves don't find what they're looking for, they turn around and make connections in the left half of the brain. And so the left half of the brain gets a little more developed. Now, what does that mean for us? First of all, it means that the halves of our brain don't communicate as well. That corpus callosum I was talking about, it's still back on 10 megabits. And stuff buffers. Okay? That's not, again, God's design, okay? God's design. Let's talk about some of God's design. But the left half of the brain is where we get things like spatial understanding. It's where The left half of the brain controls the spatial understanding, things like, it's why you can catch a ball and it takes your daughter a lot more time to learn how to do that. Our sons, man, it just comes naturally because we see that object moving through space and we naturally begin to go pop right there because we understand where that thing is in space. That's part of the results of the left half of our brain having a few more connections. It's one of the reasons why we love playing catch. When we play catch, it relaxes our brain because we love stuff moving through space. We love that ball. Oh, it relaxes my brain. And you notice when you, like some of you guys may have played catch with your dad or played catch with a friend, and you just play catch, and all of a sudden your brain gets relaxed, and you start talking, life is good. That's part of that science. We understand space and things moving through space better. In fact, little hint, if you want to, a great place to talk to your boys or for you to talk to your wife even is driving in a car. Because for two big reasons. One, we are side by side facing the same way and not facing each other. That's a little more uncomfortable for us men to face each other. The second thing is there's stuff moving by. There's objects moving through space and our brain relaxes. And so we start talking. So if you want to find a good place to talk to your boys, fathers, or if you need to talk to your wife or you need to relax your brain to talk to your wife, go for a drive. It'll help relax your brain and you'll be able to talk more. Okay, that one's for free again. So playing catch, driving in a car, these are all objects moving through space. You know, one of the reasons, I have no science for this, but this is something I've noticed. This illustrates the difference. Our ladies don't understand space as well as we do. This illustrates the difference. It's just a story here, no scientific fact. But imagine this scenario. I'm sitting there washing the dishes at my house. My wife is over putting some things away, but all of a sudden she needs the sink. And so I'm washing the dishes, and she begins to walk over towards the sink, and I recognize that she needs the sink. She's got something she's got to do. She's picking up a dish over here, she's putting it in the sink. I am automatically going to move out of the way and give her access to the sink because I understand where she is in space and that she's headed to the sink. Okay? Let me tell you, and this is hypothetical. But if my wife is at the sink and I pick up the same dish and move over to the sink, I'm probably going to bump into her as I reach the sink. I call this the dance of life. Because as a man, I understand space and I know where she's at and I know she needs that sink and I'm automatically going to move away because I understand where she's at in space. But you know what? Our ladies aren't like that. When I bump into her, they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you have enough room? No. Because you didn't see the spatial recognition. Okay. Go to that next slide. So I don't have any scientific data for this. Oh, okay. That's objects moving through space, playing catch. Great. Next slide. I don't have any scientific data for this. But think back, those of you who have had this experience, for your boys or your girls, think about what they got tickets for. If you were a boy, you got a ticket for speeding, for driving recklessly, for doing donuts in the school parking lot, okay? Because we understand space, and also, we'll talk about it in a minute, but our testosterone drives us to be more aggressive, okay? If you're a girl, what did you get a ticket for? Guys, what did your daughters get tickets for? Running into the back of the car in front of them. Hitting the parked car as they were backing out. Okay, just think through. I don't have, like, again, spatial, knowing where things are at in space. And it's another example of how we are created differently. Okay, next slide. Okay, back to the brains again. One of the reasons, because our brains don't communicate so well, another consequence of that is that we don't take in as much sensory data. I talked to you a minute ago about how our ladies can see emotions. They see faces. They've got to recognize what kind of emotion that child is experiencing. So they see the emotions and they recognize it. They take in a lot of sensory data. As men, we don't. We don't always see that somebody's mad. We don't always see that somebody is upset. Okay? So as men, we're not taking in that sensory data, and we will seem like we're ignoring the details. This is a medicine cabinet. You guys have had those. Has anyone had the experience where you say, "Where's the aspirin?" And your wife comes in and says, "It's right here." That's because our brains are not taking in as much sensory data as theirs are. They're seeing the whole medicine cabinet and finding that aspirin right quick. We're just looking. We're not taking in that sensory data. The last thing I want to touch on about in our brains and how we're wired is we have the ability to hyperfocus. Because we see objects moving through space, and we were designed, I think that was God's design, so that we could hunt, so that we could focus on something and go towards it. Okay, so we can hyperfocus. And it can take, studies say, when a boy or a man is hyper-focused, think about a kid playing a video game, hyper-focused, or doing a task, doing some kind of task that takes concentration. We are hyper-focused, and it can take a full 60 seconds for it to even register in our brain that somebody has called our name. Has anyone had that experience? You're wired for that, gentlemen. It can take a full 60 seconds for you to even hear in your brain, "Greg." Okay, so think about that as we're raising our sons. Think about, sometimes we say they're not listening. Well, they are listening, but it's their brain is holding that information out until the time they can slip it in because they're hyper-focused on something. Okay. But one of the problems with our brains and how we're wired, again, not as much sensory data, let's go to the next slide, is that we don't read emotions. We don't process our emotions. We have a hard time with feelings. Go to the next slide. This is what feelings are to us. Okay? When a feelings come, it's like, ooh. And we don't process that. And it makes it hard for us to process. In fact, here's how we like to process our emotions. Next slide. We go to the cave. Okay? So when we have hard emotions to process, we withdraw. Because emotions are hard for us to process. And we have to get into our cave and start sorting through them to figure out what in the world is going on. What is this alien thing that has come into me? Women, and they've got it. Guys, we have to get into our cave and withdraw and figure out what's going on. And that's how we're wired. Okay, now, what we have to do is once we're in that cave, and once we've gone through that, that's okay, and we've figured out what's going on, we have to come out and talk to our ladies about it. We have to come out and talk to somebody about how we've grown or what we've figured out in that cave. That's the other part of our responsibility, okay? But it can take up to 7 hours for a man to process hard emotions in a cave, okay? It also means that because our brains don't communicate as well and we're processing those hard emotions, it means that we are very vulnerable when it comes to emotions. Feelings make us feel very vulnerable. In fact, let me say this. The opposite is true with women. Our ladies are strong emotionally because they can process emotions, but they are weak physically. Anyone disagree? Okay? Opposite for us. We are strong physically, but we are weak emotionally. Women, if you've listened to them talk, if you ever have a chance to listen to them talk when it's just women, man, they say things to us that would just brutalize men. Or they say things to each other that would just brutalize us. But you know what? They're strong enough to take it because they're emotionally strong. But yet they're physically weak. Now think about this, you guys. What kind of environment, because I know we've all had it in here, but we don't ever want to admit to each other. But there are times where we totally break down and our emotions take over and take control and we have to let them out. And we might call it a crying session, whatever you want to call it. But it's times where it all backs up and it's got to come out. What kind of environment do you want in that moment? You want to be in a room somewhere? You want the door locked? You generally want to be by yourself. And maybe lights out. I mean, you want to be protected because you are weak emotionally. Same environment that a woman wants when she is being physically vulnerable because she is weak physically, which is sex. She is her most vulnerable in the act of sex. So it's the same environment. Our ladies want to be protected. But that's the reason. Because we want the same environment when we're being weak emotionally. Ladies want that environment when they're being weak physically, when they feel that vulnerable place physically, okay? So it's helping us understand each other. Okay, so we've been to the cave. We're coming out of the cave. So that kind of wraps up how we're wired in our brain. Now let's talk about the other thing that makes us men, and that's our testosterone. Yeah. Next slide. Testosterone is our prime mover. We have more testosterone in our body. Testosterone does a couple things in our physical body. It gives us more muscle mass. It makes us more aggressive. It drives us toward instant gratification. It makes us want to move quickly to problem solving. Anyone get that complaint from your wife once in a while? I just want you to listen. I don't want you to solve my problem. Okay, that's that testosterone, man. We want to do something. And we seek tension and release experiences. Now, I put this up. That's one reason we love sports. It's tension and release. The victory is in the balance. It's one side or the other, and all of a sudden our side wins, and yeah, it's that big release. I was so hoping that I could slip a picture of Texas Tech at this point today, but I couldn't. Okay, so that's testosterone. A brief look at testosterone, that's what it does in us. All right, so let's talk about the culture of men. All of our brain wiring, all of our testosterone, this is what it creates in us. Next slide. The masculine culture. Then go to the next slide. The masculine culture, I did put this one in. Anybody remember this? The masculine culture is based in skills. We want to know who is best at doing what. It's one of the fallacies, and you guys know this. Why does everybody get a trophy? That to us is ridiculous. Because I don't care. You may pass out a trophy to everybody on that team, but every boy on that team knows who does the best on that team. I mean, come on. You know, you might say everyone's a winner, but every boy in that game or whatever, they know who did the best. Because we are looking, we are skills focused. Skills are important to us. Okay, it's one reason I stand here today. And here's one thing I know: you guys are out there trying to measure. You're probably out there measuring me against Brad, or against Paul, or whoever's been up here. And you know what? And I'm sitting here trying to do my best because I want to be skilled. Right? Nothing wrong with that. You know, we just accept that. Everywhere we're going to rate skills. We compare ourselves to each other. It's one reason that we one-up each other all the time. You're ugly. Yeah, well, you're fat. It's that skill development, man. We're challenging each other. We're iron sharpening iron. That's what the scripture says. We challenge each other because we want to develop each other. We want those skills, and I test myself against you. and you test yourself against me. That's what we create. That's one reason we love sports, because it's all about the performance and developing the skill and testing ourselves. Okay? Nothing wrong with that, guys. It's how we've been created. It also, because of the way we're wired, we have what's called task-specific empathy. Here's how men think. Well, let's start with how women think. Let's think of a soccer team. Soccer team, they're playing soccer. All of a sudden, one girl goes down. Boom. Here's what the girls do. They all of them run over and surround her. Say, oh, are you okay? Are you okay? The game stops because all the girls are running over. Are you okay? How's your foot? Oh, okay, let's get you better. Can you play? Is it okay? Can we move on? Okay, that's what the girls do. Here's what the guys do. We're playing soccer. One guy goes down. Everybody turns and looks at the guy and makes a judgment right there. Is he hurt enough? I mean, is he really hurt or is he just down for a second? Because we got stuff to do. We got a game and we're trying to win. It's task-specific empathy. Okay? Now, if he's hurt enough to stop the game, that's our judgment. Is he hurt enough to stop the game? We'll stop it, but we'll only stop it long enough to take care of that, and then the game goes on. Okay? That's how we're wired. We've got to move on. And so, next slide. Sometimes we as men, next slide. We as men understand this. You play hurt. It's all about the performance. It's all about getting the victory. And sometimes we play hurt. Sometimes we play hurt in sports, and sometimes we play hurt in life. Because we got to move on. That's how we're wired. There's nothing wrong with that, guys. Nothing wrong with that. These are all things that are going to be foreign to our ladies. And right now there's lots of voices out in our society. They're saying that it's the ladies' way that is the best. No, neither one is better than the other. It's just that we're wired for certain things. So sometimes we play hurt. And in a boy's culture, a man's culture, if we are hurt, what's the first thing we want to do? Get healed up and get back in the game. Because that's where the fun is. That's where we do the best and develop our skills. All right, moving on. So we see life as a game. Next slide. So this to us is a picture of life. This is how we see life. We are teams. We're a part of a tribe. On that team, there is the individual man who is responsible for developing his skills. There are coaches that are our mentors. The older and hopefully wiser men who've gone before us who teach those skills to the younger. Okay? Those are our pastors. Those are our leaders. Every one of us is searching for somebody to help us out and mentor us and teach us how to do something. We're searching for coaches. And every member has a role, and we're all going toward one goal. Every one of us needs three things. When we approach any task or any environment or any organization, we need three things to make us feel happy there or to get us going. We need to know what the objective is, what the goal is. We need to know what the rules are. And thirdly, who's in charge. If we know those three things, every man in this room can do a task. If you don't have one of those things, we're going to walk around going, I don't understand this. Because we don't know what the rules are, we don't know who's in charge, or we don't know what we're doing, what the goal is. Okay? That's how we see life. Again, that's one reason we love sports. Everyone knows who's in charge. Coach is in charge. Ref's in charge. Everyone knows what the rules are. I can't throw the ball out of bounds. And we know what the goal is. Win. Very simple. But that's how we see life. Next slide. So here's what guides us. And I've got to get this full circle. Like I said, I've talked a lot about science. But I want us to understand, if there's nothing else I can do today, here's what I want you guys to walk out with. I want you to understand that God wired and made you this way to be a man. And I want to give you permission to be a man, because I think of what the enemy's plan, like I said, is for to try and push us to be women and trying to push women to be men. So I want everyone in here to understand a little bit about how we're wired. And there's so much more. I've touched very simply and probably too simply on some of this stuff today. It's complex. Don't worry too much about it, though. God will guide you. But I want you to have permission to be a man. I want you to have permission to stay strong in how you were wired and how God created you, and to say that it's okay to be masculine. It's okay to be a man. It's okay to think like this. It's okay to want to know who's in charge and what the rules are. It's okay to want to know what the goal is, because that's how we've been made, right? So here's what we need to be successful in life. And I'm going to wrap this up fairly quickly here. First of all, we need to know what our core values are and our beliefs. That's got to be ingrained in who we are. Second, we need some mentors in our life. That doesn't have to be somebody you meet with every week. It can be someone who you follow in a book. It can be a podcast you follow. It can be your pastor. It can be a friend at work. But we need our mentors in our life. I encourage you to find a good one. Find people who, either through our pastors, people up here at the church, are great people to help mentor you. Again, that doesn't mean a weekly meeting. I've been mentored from the stage by many men in my life because they teach me something from the stage, if I allow that, okay? So we need the mentors, but the last thing we need is we need a sacred text. We will always be driven to find what that sacred text is. What is that text that gives us purpose in life, that teaches us how to live life? This, gentlemen, is our sacred text. The scripture is where God, the one who created us and put breath in our lungs, described how we are to be and how we are to live. It's right here. If I can encourage you this morning, get a Bible, open your Bible, get more than just the verse of a day. Listen to sermons and dig it out for yourself. But begin to understand the sacred text, because this is where God has given us the instructions about being men and how to be a man. Next click. This is where we find instructions from God, like live with your wife in an understanding way in 1 Peter. So this is where I said, don't go home to your wife and say, I know how I'm wired now, honey, you adapt to me. That will not turn out well for you. Okay? Live with your wife in an understanding way. Some of that comes from understanding how you're wired, but it also comes from understanding how God made your wife and how she is wired and how you're to live together. So God instructs us to live with our wives in an understanding way. Next click. God says that we are to provide for ourselves. Our sacred text says that we are to provide for our house. We're to be the protector and provider. We're to strive. That's a skill you develop. We're to strive to have a career, to have an occupation that provides for our house. And it's not just money, it's protection. It's spiritual leadership. That's what our sacred text tells us. Next click. It tells us that we are to love our wives, giving up what is good for us for their good, to live with our wives in a sacrificial way. Because the scripture says that we are to live with our wives and love them as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for them. So we give up what our wants or desires are to make sure that our wives and our children have what they need. Next click. Ephesians 6, again, sacred text. Instruct and discipline your children without provoking them to anger. We are to discipline our children. We are to guide them. We are to be the mentor to our boys and the guide to our daughters. But don't exasperate them. Don't abuse them. Don't provoke them to anger. If you need help with that, come to Kingdom Families. Miles Sweeney shows up here once in a while and helps us with what the scripture says about raising our kids. Next click. It also instructs us to work in such a way that we do things excellently and God gets the glory for our work. This is our sacred text. You have mentors that talk about every week up here on the stage or up here on the platform, wherever, in podcasts. You have mentors that break down this sacred text for us. But don't just rely on your mentors. Don't just rely on the coaches. Dig it out for yourself. Because the only, every one of us in here can live a life full of God's power just by spending some time in His Word and connecting with Him and letting Him change your life and shape you into the image of Jesus. Next click. So here's where we wrap up, guys. And please thank you for allowing me just to talk about these things this morning. It's something that's on my heart. Every news report I hear and every article that I read that tries to push men to be women and women to be men, it just grates on me. And so I think part of us as a church, excuse me, is to stand strong in what God has designed us to be and to understand how we were made and how we were created and to giving God the glory to live that out in our culture so that the enemy doesn't have victory. But here, if we can understand how we were made, what our values are, if we can make sure we have mentors in our life and can understand what our sacred text tells us and connect with our Creator, then we can be set free in our work, we can be good husbands, and we can be good fathers all through our life. Okay? So you have permission to be men here. We can grunt and do manly things. That's great. But you know what? We have got to take how God created us and live that out according to the Scripture in our families and in our work, so that our purpose, remember what the goal is to bring the kingdom to where we go. Wherever we walk as men, and the way we act is to bring the kingdom there. Okay, so understanding how we're made is a part of that. It's a part of understanding our desire for mentors and sacred text and becoming more like Christ so that we can take Him to our workplace, to our families, to the rest of the world. I've talked quite a long time today. I hope you've gotten something useful. I hope you've chuckled at least a few times, but I hope you're walking away with a little bit of understanding. Again, don't take that out on your wives. Okay? Live in with your wife with an understanding way. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we sit in this room as men. God, you created us this way. You put breath into our lungs. Every place that we put our foot, Lord Jesus, on this earth, you've designed for us to be there and to do that. God, I just pray that we will be rooted and grounded in how you've created us, that we will be rooted and grounded in your word, that we will be rooted and grounded in the instructions that you've given us, Lord Jesus. And I pray for every man here, God, that through this week and the weeks to come and months to come, that we can connect with your word, that we can meet you in our study, that we can meet you in worship and connect with you, Father, so as our Creator, as the one who sewed us together, that we can fully access everything you've given us, everything you put into us, so that we can fulfill the purpose that you have called us to in this earth. God, draw out the talents and the strengths that are in us that maybe have been lying in wait or that maybe we've put to the side because we don't think that that's what's been designed for us or we don't think that's acceptable. Father, draw those out so that we can fulfill your purpose in this life. That we can, as your scriptures say, be a spiritual house where every brick is well placed to create the house that worships you. God, I bless you this morning, and I worship you, and I thank you for your word that guides us. And I bless every man here and every house they go to. In the name of Jesus, amen.